Saint, we're going to read this morning from Psalm 139. Just read through verse. Well, we'll just read the whole thing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful to you, Lord, for the blessings that you have given unto us. Father, we thank you for the strength when we are in weakness, Lord, having need. Lord, you answer our prayers and grant unto us things that we have need of. Lord, we never know where danger is or trouble, but God, one thing we know that you are always there. And let us be able to receive what you have for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me.
Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off.
Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways.
For there is not a word on my tongue.
Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it.
Where shall I go from my spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?
I ascend up into heaven. Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art.
And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even night shall be light before me.
Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
For thou causest my ruins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb.
I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secrets of the curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth.
Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy will all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them.
If I should count them, there are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee.
Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore be bloody men.
For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain.
Do not hate them, O Lord. Hate thee that hate thee. And I am not grieved with those the rising up against thee.
I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked with me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. God bless you. May be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. He knew us before he formed us. Amen. Thank God he has good thoughts towards us. Praise the Lord. Let's try the song, You Deserve the Glory. Brother Joe, if you could pull that up, brother. Amen. He deserves the glory and the honor. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Amen. He deserves it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You deserve the glory and all honor. Lord, we lift our hands to worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory. Yes, he does. And the honor, oh, Lord, we lift our hands to worship as we praise your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Amen. Let's sing it with all our heart this morning. Thank you, Father. Oh, you deserve the glory. Yes, he does. And all honor. Thank you, Father. We lift you up this morning. As we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name, you deserve the glory and all honor. As we for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Praise the Lord. He deserves the glory. Amen. You feel his presence this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, if you don't, let's sing Pass Me Not, calling out to the Savior. Amen. Hear our humble cry. Amen. We need him every day. So here's a quote our prophet said the other day. He said sometimes the stress of life, he said his head feels like it's going to blow. He said, and he goes through that every day. And that's a quote. Amen. So I know we have stresses, we have problems, but amen, we have a Savior. Amen. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. 206. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art smiling, pass me by.
Savior, oh, Savior. Thank you, Father. Oh, hear my humble cry. This morning, Father, hear my humble cry, oh Lord, and while on others thou art calling, do not pass me. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hear my humble cry.
Amen. That humility is so much into that, being humble before our Lord. Amen. You ready for the word?
Amen.
Amen. You excited for the word?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to stay awake for the word?
Amen.
Thank the Lord Jesus. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as we get ready for Brother Dale to come on out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you. To see you.
Take a look around then. You can always find God. If you're looking for it, he'll be right there. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Remember, by way of announcements, the Bible study will be the first Saturday in November. And remember also that will be the children's time. The weekend and the things are doing, so get everything ready for that. And but the adults will still be having the Bible study, regular 6 o'clock, and also you just have every what's your part will be in it. You make sure and get that to do. The fellowship meeting too will be at Brother Tony's on the third Saturday, and just be in prayer for that. All right, let's see. Brother Luis, is he here today? He must be in the back within the Lord willing. If he's going to be here Wednesday, he'll be ministering for us in the word of the Lord. So I think that's all of the announcements. I'm trying to get them. I write them down, and a lot of times I can't read my own writing. So that's not hard for me. But, I mean, just remember these things. Any other announcement?
At 1 o'clock today, between services, my son's
good class. All right. You got that?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, fall festival. Next Saturday is the fall festival. So remember that and get everything in order and all in line. Okay, anything else? All righty. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love, Lord, unto us. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together, that we can just sit down for a little while and fellowship together around your word and be able to feast upon you and let your light shine in our hearts and lives. We pray that you would just guide each and every one of us, keep us in your love. Remember those that are not with us today for the different reasons and things. Be with Brother Richard there. We're traveling back home today. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be able to live in a day that we could see a miracle taking place right among us and just see you manifesting yourself in Dale's life. We ask you to just continue it on, Lord. Have your way. Remember all the others that are sick among us and guide us. You said you sent your word and healed us, and we believe you. Forgive our sins and cleanse us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You know, Brother Branham said one day, he said, you talk about a miracle. You know, we want miracles. We want something to happen instantly, miracles. But he said, when you got to stay there and hold on, and it takes time for it to do. And the things that could be testified today of what Dale Roberts has went through, to where that he knows people's names, he knows all kind of things, voices, he knows all of it. He can do things and talk to them through the little thing they got in his tube there. And it's an amazing thing to just consider the things that are happening. So that's greater than a miracle, you know. Because the miracle's instant, we want that. But when you gotta just gradually take it, if God gives it from day to day, he just gets better and better and better. Going now somewhere into 12, 14 hours without anything connecting to the machine. And as far as I understand, when they got the machine on, it's actually not working. It's not doing anything, you know. All that's just hooked up there in case it's needed. But to do that, God is with us, and we thank him. Thank you, Lord, for your healing and your deliverance. In Jesus' name. Okay? Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the grace of the glory of to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, now what is the mystery of his will? The prophet said to adopt us. What? That in the dispensation, all right, now we're dispensationalists, we believe it, and we're in the last dispensation, all right? So that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who hath trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You could take Ephesians 1 and preach till eternity off of this, and we may do it. So that's all right. But we just finished now our series on the stature of a perfect man, and through there we kept constantly talking about explaining it, you know, trying to bring out like faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience from Peter, and then come over to Paul and pick up, you know, the adoptions and the things of his wording and bringing forth, and where he would talk to the Galatians about, you know, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all of that tying together, showing that Paul and Peter were both saying the same thing. They were teaching the growth development of the Christian. All right. Now, so into that, we thought we'd drop off of it, but it just keeps coming back, so we'll deal with adoption for a little bit to try to make sure, and I'm saying this with the honor and glory. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Well, we talk about that Paul preached adoption. Well, that's what Peter was preaching. It's just different wording and all. And then Brother Branham comes along to preach. So there's your 1, 2, 3. Well, Wade, he just finished a little bit back there on on adoption and things and doing. And then Brother Bob's been down in the Sunday school class teaching Sunday school and talking about adoption. So, you know, we just keep all relating seemingly right around the connection of the time that where we're at. Now, here's one thing I want you to listen. Yeah. Now, listen, because this is what we're going to be talking about for some time. Brother Branham said that our biggest problem was what? Looking back. Or looking forward. Right? And failing to see, comprehend, understand what is taking place now. All right? Now, I'm going to say this in the right way. I hope it'll come out right. So you say, but I just don't see nothing. Well, if you was back there in the past, you didn't see anything. Because if you did, you'd be ready to listen now. All right? So you didn't see anything there. You know what I mean? Move us back 6 months, and then move us back 30 years, move us back 50 years. See, you'd say, well, yeah, we saw it in the prophet, but nobody else. All right? See, you'd miss it just as much. If you go forward, well, we're looking to this. If this don't happen, then we're not there. See, so the prophet was right when what did he say? This is where we're living. Amen. We're not living the past. We appreciate that. Thank God for all of the things. Looking forward to the future. Yes, we have things that we look forward to. Look forward to the great anointing, great thing. All right, I believe in all of it. But if we don't stand where we're at, then the future will do us no good. Because when we get to the future, we'll just say we don't believe it. Right? Because that's what we're saying now. I don't see it. If you can't see these things, that's what I was just thinking about there the other day. Been thinking about it all this week. There that the prophet said, you know, the greatest miracle. And to think what Dale Roberts has went through. And if you'd see pictures and seen what was there. You know. And now he's talking. He's doing all kind of things. Right? Wanting a hamburger. He keeps requesting that hamburger. I don't think they can get it through the tubes. But that's what he wants, is a hamburger. He can tell them it's too hot. He can tell them everything. He's talking to them. You know, where if you'd have been there when I was and see him laying there, then you'd have to do as I done to turn to the wall and say, Lord, we commit it to you. Because there ain't nothing none of us can do. He's so far gone until they said, you know yourself, and I was there when the doctor said it. He said, there ain't no hope. He said, this ain't no hope. He said, this case we've proven that with this form and the doings and the age and the part, he said, they might live a year. You know, but he said, there's just no part. He wanted to pull the plug, as we call it, you know, and pull off the life support. Well, you know, she says no. And now he's doing all of these things. I wonder what that doctor is doing right now. I'd like to run into him in a hallway sometime, ask him how he's feeling. But, you know, okay. He was doing his medical terminology, so I ain't throwing off on him. And he was right in what he was saying. But see, he didn't know God could move on the scene and start just, okay, setting up. Bringing him out, letting him sit up, letting him do all kind of things. It's just, you know, talk to Aaron and some of these about the things. Talk to Anna about it to where, you know, that you could just, it's amazing. Okay. All right. Because we believe in it. That's what I'm saying now. These thoughts that I'll be trying to make for quite a while will be based upon what is taking place. Not what will take place. Or what has taken place. All right? So remember that. You know. And just think on these things. Okay. Now in adoption, your prophet taught it I run series of it years ago and things, and tried to cover the natural stories of adoption and things like that, you know, and doing it. But just to cover it the way the prophet brought it, that in the Old Testament there was a time called adoption. That a child, a boy, you know. Now, sorry, sisters, it don't cover sisters, it just covers boys. No, it doesn't cover that. See, we're in a different dispensation. All right, in this one, it's for women and men, you know. It's not just for the men, okay? So don't try to get discouraged or excuse the fact of saying, well, we don't have to do this. We're women, and, you know, that don't work. It's all in the body, because that's why I was reading Ephesians, that where Paul covers all of us, Jew and Gentile, you know, into this Ephesians to show you, because, see, really, technically, the first or the thought of adoption was for Israel. The scripture, you know, pertains to adoption, literally is related to Israel, because it was a natural thing. They had the natural story of adoption. They went through that in their families. They done that before Jesus Christ came into the existence. They had the adoption, or the what, bar mitzvah. Hey, I got close on that. Yeah. I can pronounce that word sometime. All right. But we were there in Israel and had an opportunity to view this taking place there on one of the accounts of where we were there in Israel when this boy was going through his ceremony and everything, standing there in an area. So we happened to be able to just walk by it, and we saw that, and it was great, you know. All right. But now, to think about it, they had something in order of the natural things, all right? They had a natural situation that they would do. The child was born into the family, all right? He was part of the family, but he was not positioned in the position of understanding our authority and whatever. And he was given a tutor or a trainer, you know. And see, we cover some of those customs today and do some of those things and put our children under teachers or tutors and things like that, you know, to help them. And that's what they had back there. All right. Then when the child came up to the basis of age-wise or whatever, it really wasn't age. It would be maturity as to being used more than anything. And if you got a Scofield Bible, I'd like for you to just read, or I'll read it right here from it on this word of adoption, to where that we'll be able to understand. This great big old long word means placing as a son. Now listen to what Scofield says it means. It's not so much a word. Now this big old long word for the adoption is not so much a word of relationship as of position. You got a Scofield Bible, you can read right down on the left-hand side of the page where you're there in Ephesians. The believer's relationship to God as a child results from the new birth, all right? Whereas adoption is the act of God whereby one already a child is through redemption from the law placed in the position of an adult son. The indwelling spirit gives the realization of this in the believer's present experience. Okay? Because it goes on over into love, joy, peace. But the full manifestation of the believer's sonship awaits the resurrection. Now listen. The full manifestation of the believer's sonship awaits the resurrection, the change, the translation of the saints, which is called the redemption of the body. All right? So then, see, the word, very word itself for there for adoption shows what that was. Child was born, a child. Born into the family. raised up a while, then given a tutor, you know, and that tutor trained that child to try to instill into the child the nature of the Father, and then they would come forth as to having the ceremonies and the things. You can take it, if you're real careful, over to Joseph and his coat of many colors, and to showing that he was the chosen one among. Right. But just remember now, in the natural story of the adoption, probably each one of the children of Jacob and them was adopted. Naturally, it would have been, you know, as they become to their maturity point. But then you would have Joseph being picked as the son, you know, to be the extra, and you can use that as an example because it comes forth more into you and I. Because remember what it does. It doesn't make, adoption doesn't make or did not make a child of the family. They were born a child of the family. All right? They were born that child of the family. It only made them positionally for their maturity. And with that went things that they had or enjoyed, because we know the prophets covered it. If they, and I'll read them to you, if they matured, all right, they received those things. But if they didn't mature, they remained a child, but they remained a child without a position or authority or the stamp of a seal, the things that was given to the son as he came to that position. All right, but now that's what I want you to look at. I want to approach it as the adoption to the whole point. Because, see, in that you have no example after that. In other words, that son was a son, that was it.
That's right.
You ended your adoptional type in the Old Testament.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Everybody follow me now? In the Old Testament, your type was, or what happened was, the son was born into the family, and then the son was positioned of authority into the family. But it didn't run on over and deal with what we would want to do with in the natural of trying to make some form of inheritance. It's not dealing with that there in the Old Testament, because it only dealt with those two things. Born into the family, positioned, maturity. All right, maturity. But now maturity then speaks of doing, and that's what I want you to think about. See, then Paul could pick up the Old Testament, whereas maybe Peter in 2 Peter, he had his great understanding. He brought what God wanted us to have, but he didn't go into the adoptional stages of things in his teaching. All right? Because maybe he didn't understand that, but Paul knew the Old Testament rules and regulations, not on anything else. He knew the ins and outs of the Old Testament. He knew about the law and what it meant and what it was doing. And he tried to bring that over into the New Testament. All right, see, Peter couldn't have went back. You get my point? Peter couldn't have went back and necessarily brought you over from types and shadows. He didn't deal with types and shadows. He dealt with literal wordings. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. See? He dealt with literal wordings that was bringing forth and showing what was to be able to take in place. Whereas Paul was dealing with the positional things or the growth development of that child to that position. But now remember, this, listen, and it'll help you later on as we try to say, and you'll say, well, wait a minute, what was that now? See, you had your stages of the new birth. You can type that with Paul, as he'll do in a minute now. But there must be something to move on, because if we don't catch the story, we will wind up and get into a position and be like we was that I said, and the warning was what? Looking back. Looking forward. See, we'll come up to a position to where we'll freeze on the point of doing, instead of seeing the more of what needs to be seen as you bring from the Old Testament over into the New Testament. And how that is amplified, magnified, glorified into the opening of the Word to show us where we're at and what's to take place now. All right? Because, see, you've got that authority back there. That Old Testament child had that authority given to them to place them as sons and daughters of God. All right? But now, whereas Paul carries it, and that's why I read that, see, Paul carries it on into a greater thing. Now, get what I'm saying, listen. In the Old Testament, you never come to a resurrection. I mean, you had a son and you had authority, an example, but it stopped. Paul carries it into the resurrection. Right? That's what we were reading here, where Paul says that whereas to covering to the resurrection, to the change of the body, there's things in the New Testament, see, that are not in the Old Testament. All right? So as we're dealing with it, don't get froze between and say, which one's that? Which one? See, once we cross a stage, we cross into the New Testament. And then our New Testament thinking will be based upon that, and you'll find a lot more interesting story than to just read a story of what a child was back there. You might see that act out on a play. And like I said, we got to see it. They were doing things and had bread and had different things. And best I remember, there might have been a young girl there too. There was about three or four people because we were standing at a wall and they was doing that. All right. But now listen to what I'm saying now. When you got an example, a type can only work to a certain position. That's my whole point. Paul can take that, though, and see that type back there and bring it into the New Testament dispensation and take you further than to just be birth and authority. Because that's wonderful. Birth and authority. That's great in the body of Christ. It's great to see Christ living among us. But this is not the end in the New Testament. Adoption doesn't end in the New Testament with just a maturity. I know the world's waiting. We know all that. We'll get to it. Waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. Right. But still there is things to happen after then. There's a change. There's a resurrection. There's great things to take place. That are in the adoptional series. All right. Now, so getting the point now, let's think about it. Paul, as I said, he picks this up now. And he's using the type. He's making the types and shadows out of it. Showing what it means. So we're going to read these where Paul is going to be relating that this is a birth, this is a maturity. Huh? No, it'll be in his writing, so let's go ahead and pick up the thought and get started on it. So let's go to, go ahead to number 1A, which is Galatians 3. Now watch Paul take this example. Explain the example. Show the types. Okay? Then he'll take it into a higher form than you just stop on that. See, if he didn't, all you would have would be the new birth and your authority. See, now Paul explains that. But then he takes it into the change and the things later on in his writings. But we have to cover it to where we can understand what's now. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. In other words, as under the Old Testament, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Okay. Which would be Jesus Christ coming. Wherefore the law, now watch, was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Huh? Now, Paul is explaining the Old Testament. That's this, the schoolmaster was the Old Testament form, our tutor. All right? Now, he's explaining that to bring it into order for us to see. All right? Would you realize that here's where Brother Branham, see, covers things that people, they don't want to listen to. We talk about the law bringing us to Christ. Brother Branham said their denominations was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Oh. No, we don't want nothing to do with it. You don't want nothing to do with what brought you to Christ? See, you go blow and you say, well, Brother Dale, you blow our mind because we're getting settled in what we're thinking. And then you flop us with something like that. We don't believe in them denominations being able to do anything. Not the denominations. God of the age and time that was being lived. You don't believe that there was a time when the Lutherans was the Word of God? You don't believe that the Methodists at one day was the actual working of God? See, that's what I'm saying. Brother Branham will say things, and all it takes is a word to collect, you know, to click it in the right place, then he'll say them denominations as a schoolmaster. See, then we get all confused. See, instead of listening to what he's saying, or getting the understanding of what he's saying. Okay, now watch. Wherefore the law, then what about the law being your schoolmaster? Sure. The law was spiritual. Yep, right, man. Sure. We are the ones that are carnal. Amen. The law was the Word of God. Amen. But we don't want to have nothing to do with law. We don't believe none of that law stuff. The law was what brought you to Christ. Amen. You'd have had no knowledge of sin without the law. Right. Come on. See, we just take something and we just throw it out and we think we understand. Instead of listening and thinking about what is being said. Paul, the law was our schoolmaster. You know that actually the law, the perfect Word of God now, brought Christ into existence? Don't throw away the law. Come on, church, we still believe in the law. Amen. I still believe thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Amen. I still believe that, don't you? Amen. You think we come into the New Testament so it's okay for us to do all these things? Paul said the law was spiritual. That's right. Well, I don't want none of this old law. It's all you do. No, you don't know what you're talking about. Amen. The law was the Word of God. Amen. Brother Branham said the Ten Commandments was God in letter form. You need that one? God in letter form. Okay? Because now, listen. If adoption was not had been taught in the Old Testament, you would not have something for the New Testament to top off of. Right?
Amen.
But it was taught perfectly to where that it would come forth or naturally into an example.
Amen.
For us. But never do away. Brother Brown said that law. See, we think law is dirty words. You know, law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. We ain't not. And then the prophets say that your denominations was a schoolmaster. placing it like the law was a schoolmaster? How was the law a schoolmaster? The law was what led you to Jesus Christ. Paul said, I had not known sin. Had the law not said, thou shalt not covet. Okay, listen. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. How did you get to Christ? Come on, how did you get to Christ? Well, I certainly didn't do it by the law. Well, then you didn't get there, because that's what the scripture says. Now, you're going to argue with him, so that's not. The scripture says plainly, right there in front of you, that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Yep. Something had to bring us to Christ.
Yeah.
A knowledge of sin. A conviction. Was brought forth by the law.
Amen.
But there was nothing back there to be able to take it any further. Mm-hmm. So it just become condemnation. Well, but Paul picks it up to take it and explain what happened in Jesus Christ. So then, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. I thought Brother Branham says that, let's see, how did he place it? I thought he said the prophets brought the word. I thought the prophets were the laws. And he said they were the one that brought the word. Right? Might change our thoughts about something. Look, but after that faith has come, in other words, after you get to new birth now, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Once you get to new birth, you're not under a schoolmaster. The schoolmaster is dwelling within you. You're not under a book of rules. The rules become into our heart as a revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay? For we're the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Not no lineage. Isn't that what he's explaining? It's not a lineage. It's not this, that, or the other. It's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right? Whereas as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Yes.
Now watch him, as I said a moment ago. See? There is neither then what? Jew nor Greek. Neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, Paul is going to take the Old Testament adoption of the natural child and explaining that natural child gets a tutor, a schoolmaster. The word is interchangeable. It's from there down to the word schoolmaster to be used in the next verse. It's an interchangeable word. Don't worry about it. I've looked it up. Don't think, well, it was a schoolmaster here, but it was over here. No, it's a tutor. It's a schoolmaster. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. It was our schoolmaster to hold us until Christ could come to give us the new birth. Right? So then it wasn't a dirty word. Right? So Paul, what are you doing? All right. What I'm doing, I'm trying to tell you that those things of that Old Testament happening of the adoption that you're wanting to talk about, you know, it's correct. A child is a child when it's born a child. And then its maturity comes into its life. And until that does, it's given a tutor to bring it to the place of raising it. And the tutor is the law. A schoolmaster. Now, come on. Well, none of us didn't like our school teachers when they got rough, right? You know, we thought they was all mean. But the day we finished school, we looked back and said thank you to the teacher. Right? Especially if you wanted to advance further and go on in life, you know, and do it. But get what I'm saying. Paul is using an example to explain what happens in the fact that Jesus Christ had to come and die. Because the law could hold us, but it couldn't deliver us. It couldn't set us free. The more we got of it, the more we done this and done that, didn't do this, didn't do that. That didn't save us at all. All right? Those things spoke of it. All right? Now watch what he says. Go ahead to number, to the next one. 1B. They always know when you got the 1A and 1B, that means it's added later. All right. And watch. We just finished verse 29 of the third chapter. Now we go to the fourth. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now he's explaining the son that was born to son. The child that's born to son. He's not explaining authority in this. He's explaining sonship. And explaining the new birth. The new birth is what makes us sonship. Right? Now listen. Now I say that the heir, in other words, there's a man, he's got a child. He's got every right to the inheritance. He's a child of the Father. He's born into the family. He's everything's correct. His papers is correct. He's in the lineage. He's in everything. But now watch him. Even though he's heir, he's got a problem. Huh? As long as he's a child, he can't claim that relationship. He can't claim authority as long as he's a child. So is it with me and you. We get born again and in the body. That's what Brother Branham said. He said that's what people will do. He said they're born again on Saturday night and said Sunday morning they're in the pulpit preaching. Have you heard him say that? He said that's not right. Yeah, but you gonna tell him he can't preach? I didn't say that. I said I'm gonna tell him it ain't right according to the Bible. I'm going to do him just like I do the woman. She comes up and said, well, God called me. Well, okay, that's between you and God. That ain't between me and you and God. That's your problem. I'm going to stay with the word. Well, you ain't going to let me preach? No. Go sit down and listen. The main thing, all right? All right. So now watch what he's saying. That the heir, even though he's born into the family now, so even though now, hold this point as we get to it, even though you're born into the family by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that gives you eternal life, makes you a child of God, that can never be taken from you. But that's not all the word is trying to deal with. There's more to it than that. Okay? So look. So that the heir, in other words, the rightful owner, heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Huh? But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. He's under schoolmaster. The same word appears here. Back up, it's the same word. He's under a tutor. In other words, we never have been through that to know that much about it, but a lot of people, you know, they take a tutor, they send their child to a school and they put a tutor over that child to train that child and bring that child up to positions and things and all like that. They're still doing it around the country, raising them, giving them a tutor. All right? And it's a child. So he gets a tutor. Now, Brother Branham said, God gave us a tutor at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, that's the greatest tutor of all. It was the new birth. All right. Well, see, all that does now just puts us in the body of Christ. That's what Brother Brown said. You Pentecostals made your mistake. He said, thinking you got everything when you were born again. He said, no, you just started. Well, no wonder they didn't want him. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. You know what it is? The time of the Father would finally say, okay, son, the tutor would come in and say to the Father, now he's raised up, it's time for his going through his ceremony and things, because he's right. And then the Father would check the son to see if he had the nature. Well, you know what I like about it in the natural? I mean, that's my way of thinking. I've always said I don't want my kids to act like the neighbor. You know, a lot of times kids act like father and mama, you know, and walking. You ever notice you watch your kids sometimes and you'll see them, they'll be walking and they're walking, they're walking just like you walking. They're acting like you're acting. Well, you don't want them acting like the neighbor, because you might think they wind up belonging to the neighbor. Right? Because they're acting like the neighbor. Well, all right, so the tutor would not, you know, the father wouldn't give a tutor to raise the child to act like the neighbor. He'd want him a tutor that would act in like him. He wanted his nature. How is it with you that have been in through these things? And you had, they put the tutor with you. See, actually, the tutor's when it passes the grades. You know, the class is not you. The tutor, because that tutor instills into you what you're supposed to answer the questions. Okay, it's natural. Listen. But it's under tutors and governors. Now watch him. Even so we, when we were children, babies, were in bondage under the elements of the world. In other words, two parts. First off, if you're just an heir without a birth, you're under the elements of the world automatically. Right? Automatically, you're under the elements of the world. Okay. But now, in the spiritual, the tutor is not only to try to train you in the nature, he's to try to help you to be able to survive in the world that you're living in. Right? Because that's what he's talking about. We're in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, to bring that up into a spiritual, now, whether you like this or not, that's all right. Put it in the seat of your britches and sit down on it. When you start as a new birth, you start as a baby. I don't care if you're 80 years old. You're a baby. You know what? You act like a baby. Right? You think like a baby. That's where the trouble's at. We try to take our thoughts like a baby and claim to be adults. I don't need that old law or nothing. I've never been. I tell you what, I've sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't need no law. You might find out before this series is over that if that tutor was not a teacher of the truth of the law, that was the nature that was wanted, the farmer wanted instilled into his son. So it might be something that you want. Listen. So we, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. If we don't get in the right lineage, we can't have the adoption. So what's the adoption? First, it's got to be a child. First, you've got to be born again. Then you come into the right of adoption. In other words, you start your maturity. You're a born again baby. You act like a baby. You cry like one. You know. A baby. Is not that what we've taught? Is that not the way the prophet is teaching the message of the hour and how that you're born as a child of God? Yes. That gives you the new birth. Yes, that gives you faith. Then Peter says, now come on, let's grow up and be adults. Paul says, let's get into adoptional stages with it. And see that adoption is the same thing Peter's talking about, because you're adding faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Coming out with love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, and all. Coming out with those virtues. And Paul is telling you how to become an adopted son. He's using the Old Testament as an example. That child is born into the family, but then he has to come through the maturity stages and have a tutor. But if that tutor is not satisfied with the student don't pass the test. And Brother Branham says, now this is his word, so I don't know whether there's a, I don't know whether they, you say, well, okay, son, you flunked this one, so we'll send you back through again. I don't read in the Bible where there's a back sent back in again. Okay, maybe you can, but I can't find that. Okay, I can't find if I fail it here, maybe I can make it over here. All right, are you with me? In other words, if I can't follow it and come out as a true Christian, I don't think being coming out a foolish virgin is going to help me. You understand me? There is no point of doing, and if we don't make it in, and Brother Branham, now the wording is what? He said if that child didn't become a child, he said it stayed a child, but said it had no authority. Now he doesn't cover there's a second stage that he can run back through that again. If it is, now you show me, I want you to bring it to me where he says you can start back over. No. It evidently was pretty strong. But that child, if he flunked the first one, he didn't get a second chance. See, we try to make a lot of things in the Word that's not in there. All right, now think on these things. But see, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to do what? To bring us to Christ. Jesus Christ came to be the fulfillment of the law. He came to magnify the law. How is it? Let's see, there's three, four things. He came to increase it, magnify it, and all of the law. He didn't do away with the law. Christ in the new birth. That's why the Bible says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. If you're born again, but if you're not born again, it don't work. Unless you don't think, I try to put all these things in. I know you say, well, you just give us so much information. I try to give you the information enough to where you can understand. If we don't make it in God on stage one, are we going to try stage two? I ain't going to be satisfied. I don't know what you think. If I don't make it as the bride of Christ, I don't want to have to appear somewhere else. Right? If I have to, that's between God. That's his business. He can do what he wants to. But it's not up to me to do that. I don't want nothing left over just in case this don't work. Right? I remember years ago when we first started coming into the message and a lot of money started floating around, we found out a lot of the preachers were sending their money to the foreign fields and putting them in Western, you know, or Eastern bank accounts. What for? Just in case we don't make it. You got any sin over there? Just in case you don't make it? Well, ain't no, we're not to plan just in case we don't make it. That's up to God and his doing. That ain't left for us. We've got one choice, make it or not. Okay, come on, I won't charge you for that one, all right? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. Now, Paul covers it over in Romans, we'll get to it later, called it the spirit of adoption. All right? See, when you're born again, you're given the spirit of adoption. That doesn't mean your adoption is complete. That means that you're given the spirit to carry you through, making you a child of God. All right, now here, what are we saying? Not back, not forward. The spirit of adoption is here now. We're right now being concerned with whether or not we're trying to go up that stature of a perfect man. That's what's happening right now. That was not yesterday or nor tomorrow. It's what's taking place now. If we don't see him now, we're in bad shape. Now listen, this is one I like. Because you are sons. This one was in mass confusion for years ago. I remember it. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Because you are sons. Well, we're sons all alone. That was the 1970s. We've always been this. Well, what are we doing here now? I mean, if that be true, what are we doing here 50 years later? I mean, after that point, you know. But listen, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What about it? Paul, what are you doing? I'm taking the Old Testament of the example of a child born into the family, made him a member of the family, never can be disowned or taken out. They're a member of the family. All right? Then dealing with positionally placing you in adoption. All right? And he says, I'm trying to define that now with the scriptures because we've got to bring it up. So he brings it up that the new birth makes you a child of God. The new birth makes you, with eternal life, a child of God. Makes you an heir of all things, as he'll cover in the Romans. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Wonderful thing to make you what God wants you to be, which is his child. And Paul says, now that adoption back there only put the son in the line of maturity or business-wise, you know, the things of giving authority, it didn't change that child. Now, come on, listen to me for a second. So that tutor back there had a hard problem. Because he was dealing with the nature of that child. Now, back before Calvary, now listen. The child is born into the family, but the tutor, what do you think about that tutor having to try to raise that child without having anything to do with it? Because there was no new birth in the child. There's only a natural birth. Right? The child had a natural birth. Brought it into a member of the family. Gave it inheritance, right? Because there were certain things that would be left. That's why I love the story of the Bible to where that people don't ever listen to. But you take Jacob and Esau. When Esau finds out what's happened, right? He doesn't give it all away himself. But he finds out what happened. And he said, Lord, ain't there just something for me? Well, you know there was. Right? Jacob turned around to Esau and blessed Esau and made him as to be a great authority. And out of him would come great lineages. And out of him would come great things. Read your Bible. He just didn't bless Jacob. Did he just bless? He blessed Esau. Esau got an inheritance. He still got it over there right now. He's them Arabs and them people that's got all the money that's making you pay $3 a gallon to get here today. Right? You think he ain't got control of you? Go down and get you a motel. I'm not against people. I'm just telling it like it is. Now the Vietnamese, one of the Vietnamese is buying up all the chicken houses. I don't know what they want them for, but I mean, they got a reason. You go down to a motel, you go to a service station. Like I've always told you, you say, oh, they can't do anything to us. What if they said, you will either recognize us or we won't sell you any more fuel? You say that can't be done. That can be done at any time. What are you going to do? Right? If they own it. You think they ain't buying us out? They're doing it the easy way. They ain't trying to fight us. They're just buying us out. Might be kind of like Russia said, we'll destroy you without firing a shot. You know what? They almost did. Had they demanded it the day when Russia went underneath on the crash market back under, you know, and lost their great country, had they demanded the United States that day, we would have been just as broke as Russia. You think they ain't in control? Come on, church. That's okay. I don't like to get on to that. Let's get off of that. That's government. They ain't got nothing to do with us. All right? But listen. Paul is expressing how important it is that you be born in an inheritance or a line. And that puts you in a family. And then he is expressing the authority that goes with sonship. But he cannot express too much back there as to types of them things because it only ends with natural authorities. Right? In the Old Testament, it was just natural authorities. It had nothing to do. That's why Scofield even picked it up. He said, now that doesn't deal with resurrection. See? Now Paul is having to take the Old Testament and amplify it, magnify it, and deliver it. And his way of delivering it was of what we just read of Galatians 3 and 4, that he's coming to show you that we have to get born again. To be in Christ. For Christ to be in us, we have to have the new birth. That makes us a child of God. That puts us in right of inheritance with the Father. Makes us right to where we're supposed to be. But now he's saying you must have these other things that goes with it. The authority is not dealing with just authority to have authority to be able to speak this into existence or that into existence. See, that's what everybody wants in adoption. Hey, I remember, I got a plan on the desk in there now because I remembered it and run some of my, I ain't going to call names, I'll just say it. People were saying back in the 68 and 69, oh, when we get into millennium, we're going to have manifested sons and daughters. Well, anybody with one-eyed and high sense, as Brother Don Ruddle used to say, I mean, that's plain language. That was his way of saying it. Anybody with one-eyed and high sense ought to know that in the millennium, you know, that's fine. But Brother Branham said, we don't need it in the millennium. He said, we need it now. He said, we'll be in glorified bodies. Right? Well, see, they were saying, I remember quoting that to them, and they just, well, they didn't like you. You know, say, we need it now. Yeah, but we're going to have it in the millennium. We don't need these now. We got this, we got that. In the millennium, I said, the prophet said, we don't need it in the millennium. We need it now. It's been hard to fight out a lot of truths that you wouldn't think about. But it's been fought out over the years until you holler and scream about these things to try to get people to believe it. But Paul takes then the example into a higher order that he brings it forth of a new birth, yes. But then he takes it forth more as to showing us the authority that goes with that birth. The growth development that goes with it. The adoption that comes with it. The authority that goes with the tutor to teach us and train us. To bring forth the nature of the Father, the schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ. and bringing Christ into manifestation into our hearts and lives. You say, yeah, but we got the new birth. See, I'm spent months in there trying to get you to look at that at a point. You got the new birth. Amen. You get the new birth. You're born again. Glory. But that don't stop. That just puts the baby here. That just gives the baby life. It's not necessarily that we want authority. That's the problem. Everybody wants authority. Well, power apart from character is what? The prophet said it's satanic. But he said power with a character is fit to rule. We don't ever hear that one. Everybody wants authority, and they only look at authority. Come on, we're not yesterday, we're not tomorrow. Better bring us to a close right here on this, and then we'll start over later. Everybody wants authority. They think that's the way you show things. They think, well, you show who you are by your authority or your ability to do. I ain't going to argue with you about it. Because I can stand here the rest of the afternoon and talk about things that God has done. And I ain't dragging, I'm just telling the truth about it. We can talk about the dead raised, the sick healed. We've talked about storms spoken in, out. We've talked about many different things that has happened among us. We can talk about miracles. It's right in one way, right up there now. With Dale and him coming forth more each day. We say, well, who prayed that? There's the problem. There's the problem. We've got to have the authority. What does it matter who prayed the prayer? How many times have we taken a prayer cloth for somebody's needs and give it back and pass it among everybody here to let everybody pray, even the children pray over the prayer cloth? But see, we've got, but I prayed that prayer. Well, I'm just going to say it, whether you like it or not. If that's the attitude you got, you didn't pray the prayer. Now argue all you want to and fuss. You didn't pray the prayer. Somebody else did. I got one amen. Because you see, when you start saying that, I, me, that's not an adoption. The nature of the Father being instilled into the Son is not the nature of the neighbor. Right? Are you with me? Are you thinking? But you don't believe in authorities and things. I believe in the greatest authority of one thing. Go ahead. Click it and do. You see, I believe in the opening of the Word. I believe that the greatest example, I'm going to put it on and then we'll back up. The greatest example of adoption is not your signs and wonders. You're going wrong. You're in the devil's trap because in this day, Satan can produce. Go ahead. I believe the greatest sign that there is of an adoption is the Word that's revealed to you. That we're in a day when all of this is falling apart. I'm talking about the people of the message. I'm talking about just falling apart, churches, just people leaving. Just, but to just stand there and say, that ain't got nothing to do with me. They all fall away, then I'll just praise God and keep going. What about you? You going to quit because everybody else quits? I didn't start because it started. What about it? What would be the greatest? What did Brother Branham say? What does the Bible say? If a prophet gives you a sign and it come to pass, you better hear the prophet. Amen. That's one scripture. What about the second one? If the prophet gives you a sign and it comes to pass and he leads you to another God, don't hear him, because I sent that among you to try you. Is that Bible? Give me somebody to stay with the word. Somebody just stay with the word. It don't make no difference what anybody else says. And we're not in the garbage can of everything and saying, well, this brother so-and-so's got this, brother. No, no, we ain't none of that. We're in one thing. If the word's there, the power of God is automatically there. Give me that. Give me the word. Give me the word. Let me stay with it. I told you 40 years ago that there'd come a time that the denominations would be raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out devils, and that it would be in this message that people would be running after those doctrines and ideas. I have no problem of saying I said it. That's up to you to whether or not it's of God. But let me just say it like this. It doesn't matter whether it's of God or not if it worked. Now, you don't like that, right? Come on, you understand what I'm saying? If what I said is the truth, even if I said it, if the devil tells the truth, he tells the truth. You're going to be, what did your prophet say? Tried by the what? Word. See, if you don't know whether or not the preacher's preaching the truth, where have you been studying God's word? Right? Come on, musicians. What about it? We're just making a little point. Because my whole point is one thing. I back it up to say that we're not going to be back under and we're not going to be over there. We're going to talk about what's here now and see. If it's of God, let's believe it. If not, then we just throw it away and forget it. But I'll state the final statement onto this. The greatest manifestation that there could ever be is a child of God to stay with God's word in a time of all the troubles and heartaches and problems. The times of all of the things falling right and left till they just do it. And somebody just say, thank God for the word. Amen. Yeah, but I love, and there ain't nobody in the building that loves feelings any better than this man. I've told you. I believe that a baby that's got any life is going to have life about it. You know what I'm saying? If it's alive, it's going to be alive. We're going to have emotions. We're going to have things. Amen. Because we believe in it. Amen. But where is my emotion supposed to be when it's compared with the word? Am I to check the word by my emotions and things and ideas or what's taking place, or check it by what the prophet said? I say this with no disrespect. No, I won't say it because I've always been so guilty of bringing out things and exposing situations to, you know, I get where I'll just leave it. Listen. The greatest thing to know whether a child is the son or daughter of God is to how they deal with the word. What did the prophet say? He said they gave him the word test. Now, how do you give the word test? You know, I know how y'all used to tell about giving the Pentecostal look in the eyeball. You know, I discern, brother, you out in, yeah. But what is the greatest discernment that there is? I thought the Bible said Hebrews 4:12. Is that right? That the word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What are we going to try people by? that comes by and preaches things to us. What do you try it by? By the words you've heard. Is that simple? Yeah. And then what do? Try them by the word. See what they say, what the prophet has to say. Oh, but the dead was raised, the sick was healed. Look at all these great miracles. That's what the Bible said. He said, I'll do these things and send it among you to try you. What a wonderful day. Let's stand. Go ahead, brother.
Pass me not, O tempter, Savior.
Everything be all right. Let it be come forth. And you testify then to the word that you sent among us in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Services. 1 o'clock. Remember now, meet back at 1 o'clock to talk about the times are for the festival, okay? You're dismissed. Father, we'll speak with everybody. It's your loving grace.